Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Last week, I promised that I would read a personal letter from Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family to one of our listeners who took some of the material at our website, kgov.com, and wrote a letter to Dr. Dobson and then gave as attachments, for example, a letter on Focus on the Family letterhead that was sent to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church stating directly that Dr. Dobson chose to compromise his own standard regarding to never vote for any politician who supports abortion. And so that's one of the enclosures. Another enclosure is our Samuel Alito report card showing how Samuel Alito has issued repeated rulings aggressively taking the pro-abortion side, but the bottom line is rulings that upheld the killing of innocent children, and he did so for process reasons. Now, that was last week. I told you we would read this letter. So I will read the letter from one of our listeners from Montana to James Dobson, and then I'll read Dr. Dobson's response, a personal response from James Dobson, and then with a handwritten note at the bottom of the letter from Dr. Dobson. And we have scanned these, and so we will upload these letters to the internet so you could see them directly. And I want to also add that Focus on the Family has just aired three programs, extraordinary programs, on truth and absolute truth. They have something they call the Truth Project, which is really wonderful, very encouraging, and I'm thankful they did it. They have a Dr. Del Tackett who's heading up their Truth Project, and the point of it is that Christians have to be committed to truth no matter what. We can't be moral relativists. No matter what our culture does or our laws do, we have to be committed to truth. And that is so on target, absolutely on target, to what we have been urging Focus on the Family to consider and recommit themselves to. And what will be tremendous now is if Focus on the Family will take that, their truth project, and apply it to their political strategy and say, are we committed to truth, or are we willing to compromise, even on commands like do not murder? Are we moral relativist or into situational ethics in order to achieve what we think are long-term political goals? And so I'm going to read to you three true-false questions, and I'd like you to answer these true-false questions, okay? Now, here they are, true or false, number one. If a constitutional process conflicts with God's universal command, do not murder, God's command must be upheld. True or false? By someone who's doing right, someone who's committed to do right, what should be done? If a constitutional process conflicts with God's universal command, do not murder, God's command must be upheld. True or false? Because when we read this letter from Dr. Dobson, we will find that he would answer that question false. Question number two. If a governing official upholds a law that violates do not murder, he cannot be justified by appealing to a constitutional process. Is that true or false? Of course, all three of these are true. I'll read it again. If a governing official upholds a law that violates do not murder, he cannot be justified by appealing to a constitutional process. That's true. Dr. Dobson would answer that false. And question number three, if a Christian leader argues that commitment to the Constitution takes precedence over do not murder, he should be corrected. Now, I'll read these letters and you decide how Dr. Dobson would respond to that, true or false. Okay, here's from Gary. Gary from Great Falls, Montana. Dear Dr. Dobson, my parents were missionaries with the Christian organization, the Navigators. The worldliness I witnessed by Christians nearly cost me my faith, but I took encouragement from the firm commitment of a few. Now, come to find out, you have abandoned your promise to uphold thou shalt not murder. Enclosed is the record of Samuel Alito's pro-abortion rulings and Ross Marshall's letter. Now, Ross Marshall works at Focus on the Family, and he sent a letter to a Mr. James Craddock, who is an elder at Denver Bible Church. And so this Gary from Montana, he's included that letter in this package to James Dobson. He writes, enclosed is the record of Samuel Alito's pro-abortion rulings and one of your employees, Ross Marshall's letter, stating that you, Dr. Dobson, have rightly or wrongly, that was in quotes, chosen to compromise, in quotes, on your oath, in quotes, to never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion, unquote. According to Mr. Marshall, your goal is to defend Christian values and attitudes within government circles. Sir, the absolute opposite is true. You have wrongly learned from relativist politicians that for Christians to be influential, they must compromise, even on thou shalt not murder. Softening your position on abortion cannot possibly, quote, cannot possibly exert national influence on behalf of the family, unquote. Judge Roy Moore refused to compromise his principles and lost his career, but his courage emboldened thousands. When you build your constituency through the rules of political compromise, the resolve of millions is weakened. I want to reread that. When you build your constituency through the rules of political compromise, the resolve of millions is weakened. Humanism and pop psychology value compromise. They like to compromise. Humanism and pop psychology, they value compromise. But the Bible teaches, do not kill the innocent. Do not transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition. And do not do evil that good may come. And Gary gave the Bible verses for each of those. And then Gary from Great Falls, Montana, closes with this: watering down God's fundamental principles of right and wrong will neither usher in cultural change, as Mr. Marshall puts it, nor introduce our nation to the radical life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Grieving beyond words, Gary. So that's how Gary signed off his letter. Grieving beyond words, Gary. Okay, so that was written January 31st. Now, Dr. Dobson wrote back late February and wrote, Mr. Gary, Great Falls, Montana, greetings from Colorado Springs. I recently returned from a 7-week writing trip and have been absolutely swamped with the work that accumulated in my absence. I trust you'll understand why it has taken me a few weeks to respond to your letter. I was pleased to learn a little bit about your background, and I was encouraged to read that your parents were involved with the Navigators. As you're no doubt aware, this fine organization maintains its headquarters here in Colorado Springs, so we're fortunate to see firsthand the impact they're having in spreading the gospel and making disciples in our city and across the nation. I was especially heartened to hear that the Lord has sustained your faith through the challenges you faced. Now, obviously, what Gary was saying is that as his parents work with the navigators, he saw so much unchristian behavior that as a young person growing up, he questioned the validity of Christianity. But then he saw a few firm Christians and that he could take courage from. Okay. And so Dr. Dobson continues to Gary, "It was also good of you to share your candid reaction to the content on KGov.com. And KGov.com, I'm not sure if Gary mentioned KGov.com. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the Sam Alito report card at the bottom of that mentions KGov.com, but Gary didn't mention it. Okay, I see. "It was good of you to share your candid reaction to the content on KGov.com that calls my commitment to pro-life principles into doubt. Before I address questions about my support for Justice Samuel Alito and President George W. Bush, I must emphasize that I have not wavered in my defense of the preborn in the least. My integrity on this issue means the world to me. The claim that I abandoned my pledge to, quote, never cast one vote for any politician who would kill one innocent baby by voting for President Bush in 2004 is groundless." Okay, now, Gary didn't make that claim. Gary didn't add those details, right? Gary didn't say, "Dr. Dobson, here's how you violated your pledge because you voted for Bush." Gary didn't say that. We've never said that. We have no idea how Dr. Dobson voted or has ever voted. We have posted to our website a letter scanned in on Focus on the Family letterhead, which states that Dr. Dobson violated his pledge, that he compromised his pledge, that he has disregarded his pledge. I'll quote to you from this letter from Ross Marshall that was included to Dr. Dobson, and Gary quoted from the letter. Gary, in his letter to Dr. Dobson, quoted saying, "Enclosed is the Ross Marshall letter." That's Ross Marshall from Focus on the Family. "On Focus on the Family letterhead, stating that you have, quote, rightly or wrongly chosen a compromise on your oath to never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion." So James Dobson adds in a detail about whether or not he voted for Bush in 2004, and he lumps that all together, and he says this is groundless. Well, no one has accused him of voting for President Bush in 2004, but let me read to you from the letter from Focus on the Family to one of the elders at Denver Bible Church. Okay, this is from Ross Marshall. "Dear Mr. Craddock, as Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, there have been times that he felt he was faced with the necessity of making a difficult but inescapable choice between two or more major candidates." And then the next half of that paragraph goes on to explain George W. Bush in the 2004 election. So, but we'll skip that. That's from Focus on the Family. And then we go down to the next paragraph, and here are a few excerpts. "Dr. Dobson, rightly or wrongly, chose to compromise his own standard. He believes God has led him in this direction." So this Focus on the Family worker, he works in the president's office, and that's, I think, a higher level customer service type function where they have a bit more authority and they deal with the more difficult issues. That's my understanding. And so this Ross Marshall at Focus on the Family has explicitly stated that Dr. Dobson compromised his own standard, which was to never support, never vote for any politician who supports abortion. So Dr. Dobson, in his letter back to Gary, he says, "The claim that I abandoned my pledge is groundless." And it would be good, Dr. Dobson, it would be good for you to address the letter written by one of your workers in the president's office at Focus that explicitly says that that is no longer your policy. And we believe that Ross Marshall has properly indicated your new position regarding whether or not you would support, I'm changing the word from vote to support, whether or not you would support judges, laws, or politicians that will kill some innocent children because you think it would be politically advantageous for some kind of a long-term net gain. So if you would, it would be wonderful to explicitly either correct Ross Marshall and indicate, you could send an email, a press release on your own website, that Ross Marshall was incorrect when he described your position as changing, that you reversed yourself, you've compromised on your own position, rightly or wrongly, and you believe God led you to take that compromise. Okay, let me continue with Dr. Dobson's letter. So the claim that I abandoned my pledge is groundless. Granted, the president has identified three situations in which he feels abortion might be justified, in cases of rape, in instances of incest, and when the life of the mother is literally at risk. Yet during his tenure, President Bush has never once endorsed or proposed a single piece of legislation that would effectually authorize the killing of babies for the reasons indicated. Now, let's see, right there, Dr. Dobson wrote this letter February 24th, and we do remember that President Bush has opposed pro-life legislation in South Dakota, and that was just after Dr. Dobson wrote this letter. Dr. Dobson said the president has never once proposed or endorsed legislation that would effectually authorize the killing of babies for rape or incest. And now Dr. Dobson would have to update that and say, but we do know that President Bush has opposed, he has stated that the abortion ban in South Dakota is not his position. He stated in his interview with ABC News regarding South Dakota's abortion ban, he stated his opposition that that's not his position. And he believes abortion should be legal for rape and incest. And then the president said that he does not ask. He said this to ABC News regarding South Dakota's abortion ban. He said he does not ask judicial nominees if they are pro-life. He said, I don't have a litmus test, meaning to ABC News and the mostly pro-choice viewers they have, that President Bush's judges are reasonable judges. He doesn't know if they're pro-life or pro-choice. And hey, they might strike down the South Dakota abortion ban. After all, it doesn't even agree with my position. All right? You could get the text of what George W. Bush said explicitly online. And that was the encouragement he was giving to pro-choicers listening to him. He said, hey, this ban is not my position. And my judges, I don't even ask them if they're pro-life or not. So you put that one and two, and you get three, that, hey, I don't support this law. And my judges, I don't even know if they're pro-life. And it's very possible they won't support it either. So they might strike it down. So, you know, if you're an ABC News producer, don't think I'm an extremist. I'm not. So he's never once endorsed legislation that would effectually authorize the killing of babies for rape and incest. And in fact, now in South Dakota, legislation that would save babies whose fathers were criminals, President Bush has opposed. Let's continue with Dr. Dobson's letter to Gary in Montana. In fact, his record, President Bush's record, speaks volumes about his pro-life convictions. His support for the Mexico City policy, you know, Planned Parenthood is still getting, and pro-choice organizations are still getting many millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars through the Bush years from the federal government. And George W. Bush, to as far as I know, he's not made an effort to defund radically pro-choice organizations because they support the killing of unborn children. So plenty of money has gone toward killing babies without any kind of public fight from George W. Bush, without him using his bully pulpit to do so. In fact, his record speaks volumes about his pro-life convictions, his support for the Mexico City policy, denial of funding to stem cell research involving further destruction of embryonic humans, and his willingness to sign the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. No doubt Tom Daschle signed that, right? Or Hillary Clinton in a presidential campaign. And his willingness to sign the partial birth abortion ban. These all serve to underscore that he is the most active, effective, and consistent pro-life president this nation has ever seen. And that's, well, before 1973, we didn't have a national state of legalized child killing. So presidents before 1973, if there were any that did not support killing unborn children, then those presidents would by definition be more pro-life than George Bush, who's sat by while millions of dollars have gone to fund organizations that aggressively promote the killing of unborn children. And in fact, the president even supports killing children whose babies' fathers are criminals or rapists. All right. As regards Justice Alito, Dr. Dobson continues, I remain optimistic that he will prove to be a judicial conservative on the U.S. Supreme Court. Based on my own research, oh, and by the way, we just heard last week on this show from Antonin Scalia, who says, look, if you think a judge is going to do what's right or what's wrong, that's ridiculous. We don't have that kind of commitment. We simply follow the process. And he says, regarding whether homosexuality should be legal in Texas, he said he was talking to the students at New England School of Law. He said, hey, he was joking, but he said, personally, I support orgies. I think they reduce social tension, sexual orgies. He says this to college kids. And so Scalia was saying, if you think you're going to get right or wrong out of our legal process and our judges, you need to think again. And so James Dobson is not, if you notice, he's not saying I'm optimistic that Justice Alito knows right from wrong or will be committed to do what's right. He's saying I'm optimistic he will prove to be a judicial conservative on the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's probably true. Like Antonin Scalia says, hey, if I were a judge in Germany, in Nazi Germany, I'd probably be convicted at Nuremberg. Because I don't believe in the Truth Project. I believe in moral relativism. As a judge, I get to rule however I want as long as it's consistent with the process. And do not murder is not a prevailing legal concern to me. I'm a judge. So that's the context in which Dr. Dobson is saying, hey, I think Alito will be a conservative. I guess so. By that standard, I guess he will be. Based on my own research and that undertaken by trusted friends like Dr. Robert George, a graduate of Harvard Law School and professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, I am confident that Justice Alito shows all the marks of someone who will interpret the Constitution as it was originally written and understood. Wouldn't it have been greater if Dr. Dobson could say, I am confident that the judges we recommend, that we lobby for, fear God and know the truth. And within that context, they'll uphold our man-made agreements. But no, the Truth Project, in practice, has set aside absolute truth and turned to moral relativism and said, we approve of judges who violate do not murder because their greater loyalty is to the Constitution. And that's the new Truth Project. Some have raised the objection that Alito's rulings involving abortion on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals indicate that he is sympathetic to the pro-abortion cause. I find these unconvincing. Actually, he ruled in favor of killing late-term babies. That's somewhat sympathetic to, well, not abortion. Oh, to the process that legalizes abortion. A closer look at the cases cited by KGov.com reveals that Justice Alito recognized that appellate court judges are bound by Supreme Court precedent. And this is based on what? The Truth Project? This is based on absolute truth and a commitment to God, no matter what our culture or our government does. A closer look at the cases cited by KGov.com, writes Dr. Dobson, reveals that Justice Alito recognized that the appellate court judges are bound. They're bound? What, he doesn't have free will? He doesn't have the ability to obey God rather than man? They are bound by Supreme Court precedent. So if the Supreme Court says you can own a black man, Justice Alito would have ruled you could own a black man. If they rule you could kill Jews, Justice Alito would rule you could kill Jews. And Dr. Dobson would approve of Justice Alito if they were both in Germany ruling to kill Jews, leading to the Holocaust, because Dr. Dobson has compromised on God's standard of do not murder. And he's replaced it with a moral relativism and a situational ethics. All right, we're up to a commercial break. So after the commercial, we'll conclude this letter from Dr. Dobson. And then on Tuesday next week, we'll have the atheist back, Fool, from TheologyOnline.com. And we'll continue our debate about the Bible, right and wrong, and God's actions. How is it that they are justified? So we'll be back right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. NYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Feel free to call in. Love to talk to you about this. And I want to finish reading Dr. Dobson's letter and then his handwritten note, which he penned at the bottom of this 1.5-page letter that was obviously typed by someone else, which is typical. He signed it, James C. Dobson, Ph.D., and Dr. Dobson signed the letter, founder and chairman, focused on the family. And then his assistant, the JCD / and then her initials, AMD. And that's standard procedure. And then Dr. Dobson handwrote a note of about 4 sentences at the bottom of the letter. So let's get to that. Okay, so some have raised the objection, Dr. Dobson writes to Gary in Montana, that Alito's rulings involving abortion on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals indicate that he is sympathetic to the pro-abortion cause. I find these arguments unconvincing. By the way, during the show, my staff here has been working hard and they have uploaded these letters. And so you'll be able to get access to them online by this evening, tonight at KGov. That's KGOV.com. Okay, so Dr. Dobson says he finds it unconvincing that there should be an objection to Alito's rulings. Some have raised the objection that his rulings involving abortion on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals indicate that he is sympathetic to the pro-abortion cause. Well, in fact, Alito ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion. If we were in Germany and he ruled to keep legal killing Jews, then hopefully Christians wouldn't approve of him or his ruling or the process at which he arrived at his ruling, but they would only condemn his ruling and criticize him for violating Do Not Murder and making some legal excuse for it, some justification for extremely bad behavior. Well, Dr. Dobson says, I don't find these arguments convincing. A closer look at the cases cited by KGov.com reveals that Justice Alito recognized that appellate court judges are bound by Supreme Court precedent under the long-established principle of stare decisis. Stare decisis, a little Latin lingo there. What does that mean? So Dr. Dobson is saying, look, Samuel Alito, he had to rule to keep legal partial birth abortion. He had to rule that to keep it legal to kill late-term babies in that way. And in his other pro-abortion rulings, he had to issue them because of stare decisis. So what does that Latin mean? That means to stand by that which is decided. In other words, it's already been decided, so stick with it, for better or worse. Now, Dr. Dobson says that's a long-established principle, and it does go back a ways. But there's an even older legal principle that says do not murder. Now, how's that one? Which is more important, do not murder or stand by that which has been decided? Which is more important? Which takes precedent? Dr. Dobson is saying stare decisis takes precedence over do not murder. Now, he doesn't put it explicitly in those words. He just leaves out that, where he is putting his allegiance. So Samuel Alito recognized that he was bound to stand by that which is decided because that takes precedence over do not murder. Why does it take precedent? Well, it's a long-established principle. Well, so is do not murder, which has been established longer. Now, I think I could cite examples of, do you speak Latin? Stare decisis. A little Latin lingo there. I think I could cite examples that go back centuries earlier than what would typically be cited by constitutional scholars of this principle of, hey, stand by that which is decided. But it doesn't matter. It does not justify ruling to kill the innocent. And Dr. Dobson, who's now run a few programs on their Truth Project, saying that no matter what, you don't compromise on truth. No matter what the culture does, no matter what the government does, you never compromise on God's truth. And then they're telling us, well, the ultimate principle is stare decisis. Stand by that which is decided. You know, that is an ancient pagan principle. It is. Remember King Darius of the Medes and the Persians? And he had said, all right, anybody who prays to any god except to me, for 30 days, he'll be killed. Well, he'll be thrown to be slaughtered by lions. And so Daniel, one of his favorites, prayed openly. He openly disobeyed the law. Daniel openly rejected the process. He could have just said, well, you know, I'm a governing official and I need to follow process. And I could pray silently and no one will know that I'm really obeying God. So I'll pray silently and obey God, and outwardly it'll look like I'm following the process. That's not what Daniel did. What did Daniel do? He went home, he opened his window so that everyone could see that he was praying to the God of Israel. Daniel openly defied the law, the process, the government, the king, because the law was immoral. It was wrong. And so the king came, being a pagan king, not understanding truth or righteousness or not having godly wisdom, he said, Hey, Daniel, I really like you, but you know, stare decisis. Stare decisis, Daniel. You know what that means. You're going to be staring in a lion's den. Because I have to stand by that which is decided. And what I have written, I have written. So let it be written, so let it be done. I said it, that's it. Even if it's evil, even if it's murdering an innocent person, it doesn't matter because I said it, you got to do it. That is the ultimate example of legalism. Ultimate legalism. There's different flavors of legalism, but one kind is when you elevate your own laws above God's law. That's legalism. And you will justify any kind of filthy behavior or wicked or immoral behavior or even the slaughter of the innocent. You will justify, you will say, this judge ruled correctly when he said you can kill Jews in this concentration camp using Zyklon B because that was the precedent he had to follow. Because we have elevated man's law above God's stare decisis. And that's simply immoral. It is one of the most vile forms of legalism. No, you don't get to cut a side deal called a constitution and then say, now we can justify our judges who uphold murder because if they're our judges and we have a long-term political goal, then really we will approve of them when they rule to murder Jews or murder babies. We'll approve of them because they're following stare decisis, and that is where our loyalty lies. Yes, we care about do not murder, but it's more important that judges go by stare decisis. And I could give you a bunch of reasons why. So one of the reasons, it's a long-established legal principle. But do not murder is an even older legal principle. In fact, it's in the very Ten Commandments that Dr. Dobson went to Alabama to stand by Judge Roy Moore, who was saying, we can't run away from the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments didn't have the 11th commandment, stare decisis, that if a process says you could murder the innocent, then judges should rule that you murder the innocent because so let it be written, so let it be done. No. And judges will say, I wash my hands of this innocent blood. Because I don't agree with this. This is not what I would do. I'm just a worker bee. It's just my job. I'm just following orders. Don't blame me. It's not my fault. So on Judgment Day, assuming Samuel Alito is not a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't know. Jesus said many will say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you. And many will say he is the Christ, but will deceive many. So I don't know, but I do know that he's a legal positivist who says that the process takes precedent over do not murder, and he will rule to keep it legal to kill children using his authority as a federal judge. He's not really a judge. He's more like a federal rubber stamp. And if something is immoral, evil, or wicked, he will rubber stamp it with the approval of our greatest Christian leaders. They will approve of him. He'll go to bed sleeping at night like a baby, having just ruled that you can kill babies even by his affirmation, by his authority. And the Christian leaders in America will say he did the right thing. It was a good ruling. We admire him. In fact, Dr. Dobson now writes, as such, because he was bound to the Supreme Court by stare decisis, as such, Justice Alito's deference to the high court actually serves to highlight his judicial restraint. So when we have Antonin Scalia speaking at Pepperdine University, asked by a student, well, what if you were a judge in Germany? You're saying the judge has to uphold the law no matter what the law is. What if you were a judge in Germany, Antonin Scalia, hero of the conservative Christians in America? And Scalia says, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. That's where we are at. That is the moral relativism that the body of Christ has been immersed in, that we no longer know right from wrong. We have become legal positivist. And one of these days, I pray as we continue to try to hold our Christian leaders accountable. And so now they're beginning to at least address these issues. which until now, they've just like, they've not addressed it. Everybody was supporting Samuel Alito without even mentioning that he upheld partial birth abortion. Now, thanks to a handful of Christians saying, hey, we've started compromising on do not murder, at least Jay Sekulow has now acknowledged, although on American Center for Law and Justice, he immediately defends Alito for ruling you could kill babies with partial birth abortion. And Gary Bauer has said it was a good decision he made because he did what he was supposed to do of the Family Research Council. And Focus on the Family has now published an article listing all these pro-abortion rulings of Alito and one by one saying, well, really, they were pretty good rulings. They were good rulings. This is what we would have ruled. This is what we would have ruled. We would have ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion if I, James Dobson, were on the bench because that would have been my job. And at least we're bringing this into the light. Now, the next step is to get them to acknowledge bluntly, yes, we believe in legal positivism. We believe that our judges must obey man rather than God. Yes, we believe that you elevate man's law above God's do not murder. We believe that for good reason, and here's why. That's what we need from them, so that the line is clearly drawn. And when they have to defend that, hopefully the Holy Spirit within them will convict them and they won't be able to get the words out of their mouth and they'll reconsider. And the Truth Project that's been aired now, a part of Focus on the Family, will become not just words, but action. Because your actions speak louder than words. And if you say one thing, that God's truth, we must never compromise on God's truth, and then you say we can violate do not murder because it's stare decisis and remain blameless because we're consistent with the process, no, then you have violated absolute truth. And you've done so for some immediate temporal political excuse. And by the way, that's what terrorists do. Terrorists kill women and children, and they say, well, it's justified because we have a political goal. Our political goal justifies us in setting aside do not murder in this specific instance. All right, so let me continue with Dr. Dobson's letter. He writes to Gary from Montana, those who hold that Justice Alito should have ignored Supreme Court precedent are oversimplifying this issue. No, what he should have written is, it is murder to kill an unborn child, and I will never use my authority to uphold the killing of the innocent. That's what he should have done. That's it. For over 216 years, appellate court judges have not been permitted to set aside Supreme Court precedent at will. If they were allowed to do so, the law would be in constant flux. The Supreme Court would need to be enlarged. Now, this is the, our judges have to uphold killing the innocent, otherwise we would be lawless justification. That's what this is. This is the excuse. Our judges have to uphold killing the innocent, otherwise we would be a lawless nation. The problem with that is as soon as any judge or any court says you can murder the innocent, you are a lawless nation. You are. And so every time any of our lower court judges upholds the killing of Jews or the killing of babies, that makes us further lawless. It doesn't make us a little bit better. It makes us more and more lawless. So they're arguing it's like the small lie and the utter deception. The utter deception is we have to defend these judges who uphold murder because otherwise we would be lawless. We can't be lawless. So do you see how it's legalism? Legalism takes that it's legal to kill Jews and then defends the judges who kill Jews. That's the utmost legalism. Even, and that's why legalism is so insidious, why the Apostle Paul dedicated most of his ministry toward fighting legalism, is because this is what it does. It obscures your relationship with God and truth and righteousness, and you become obsessed with process and rules. Okay, so the law would be in constant flux. The Supreme Court would need to be enlarged to deal with hundreds, if not thousands, of additional appeals that would inevitably ensue. In all probability, they would summarily reverse renegade lower court decisions. That doesn't matter. If you're a lower court judge and the upper court says you can kill Jews, and you say, no, you can't kill Jews, it's murder, then if they reverse you, have you done bad? Have you done wrong? No, let them reverse you. I mean, it's evil for them to reverse you, but don't go along with it. Don't say, okay, I'm going to rule that you can kill Jews because otherwise they'll reverse me. You know, if I rule you can kill Jews, I might become a Supreme Court justice and maybe I could change the law. But by then, you no longer know right from wrong. You become like Antonin Scalia, who says, hey, right and wrong has nothing to do with it. It's the process. So if we passed the law constitutionally that said you could kill all Italian-American jurists, how would Antonin Scalia rule? How would he rule? He's an Italian-American jurist. So if we passed the law constitutionally, said you could kill Italian-American jurists, how would he rule? Well, to be consistent, he'd have to say, well, I'm going to uphold this rule, and now I'm going to run. In either scenario, Dobson writes, appellate court decrees wouldn't last long, and the positive change we're looking for with regard to abortion law would remain elusive. So he's making a calculated, he's taking a calculated risk here that, hey, when lower court judges rule to kill Jews or kill babies, in the long run, this is going to work out for good. That's his calculated risk. And human beings are not smart enough to violate do not murder in hopes of calculating a positive outcome. In fact, it wouldn't happen anyway. But even if it could, we're not smart enough. So God doesn't tell us, use wisdom as to when to violate do not kill the innocent. I asked Focus on the Family's judicial analyst to summarize the cases posted on the KGov.com website, and I've enclosed a copy of his findings with this letter. And by the way, that's why just a few weeks ago we saw an article published by Focus on the Family where they finally dealt with these cases. It was because they were responding to our effort to get our Christian leaders to acknowledge they're affirming judges who rule you can kill the innocent for process reasons. As you'll see, Supreme Court precedent significantly influenced Justice Alito's rulings in these disputes. The implication that he is an extremist pro-abortion jurist is simply without merit. Yeah, somebody who ruled to kill Jews in Germany in a half a dozen different cases or different ways and showed very little mercy to families whose relatives were killed by Jews, that kind of judge, history wouldn't look on them fondly and remember them and say, you know, they were really showing judicial restraint. No, we would condemn those Jews as more racist in their heart than godly. They certainly didn't fear God and know the truth. They feared the process and continued to collect a paycheck. So the implication that he is an extremist pro-abortion jurist is simply without merit. Thanks again for writing, Gary. I hope this letter has clarified my perspective on these matters. And we knew all this, but it makes it more blatant. God's richest blessings as you stand for his truth. Sincerely, James C. Dobson, PhD, founder and chairman. And then we have a handwritten note at the bottom. And this is what we're putting up at kgov.com. It doesn't introduce anything new, but it's more of a personal note. May I be extremely candid in this last statement. Even though you and I clearly disagree on the issues addressed above, I wonder why you would target me for disdain when I have dedicated my very life to protecting the sanctity of life. And I read to you Gary's letter. And there's no disdain in the letter. There is grief. Gary signed his letter grieving beyond words. And he quoted Focus on the Family's letter saying that Dr. Dobson has rightly or wrongly chosen to compromise on his oath to never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. And so Gary said he's grieving. and that Dr. Dobson has watered down God's fundamental principles of right and wrong, and he's done so with different political excuses. And none of those can take precedent over do not murder. So Dr. Dobson says, I wonder why you would target me for disdain. I have a love for Dr. Dobson, personally, Bob Inyart. And Gary sent me this packet, and then we called him of this correspondence back and forth, and he has a love for Dr. Dobson. So disdain, how about absolute discouragement? I wonder why you would target me for disdain when I have dedicated my very life to protecting the sanctity of life. Dr. Dobson, please take up your pledge again, please. And don't support any judge, law, or politician who would kill a single innocent child, please. Focus on the family defenders of the preborn child, have more consistently fought to preserve those precious babies working behind the scenes in Washington, attending and speaking at rallies, recording dozens of radio and television programs, probably hundreds, etc. Why do you choose to weaken my effort and ignore the wicked voices in the culture? Dr. Dobson, we are trying to strengthen your hand, not weaken your effort. You weaken your effort and your honor of God when you say we must obey man rather than God. Dr. Dobson, please reconsider and commit Focus on the Family to the Truth Project. But not only as a truth project, but everything you do and say regarding public policy and the unborn, innocent children. Everything you do and say, pass it through the filter of the Truth Project, that we must never compromise on God's truth, no matter what our culture does, no matter what our government does. Please, Dr. Dobson, we beg of you to reconsider. And our goal is to strengthen your hand. Now, here at Bob Inyart Live, we stay on the air with your help. And one of the ways you can help is to get our DVD, Focus on the Strategy. Man, what a DVD that is. I gave a presentation for an hour presentation at Focus on the Family to James Dobson's VP of Public Policy, Tom Minery. And then back in Denver, in front of an audience of 300 Christians, I recreated that presentation. And that's what you get on this DVD, Focus on the Strategy. And we've got them. You could call us at 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278 to get one. It's only $9.95 plus shipping and handling. Or you could get a handful of them for $19.95 or $49.95 and then pass them around. People will love them. God bless you.